I'd like to read to you this morning a passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 14. When the hour had come, He sat down, and the 12 disciples with Him. Then He said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then He took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your wonderful words and for this opportunity we have today. Lord, speak to us now Your message. Give to us Your grace and Your wisdom, that as we come together, we may draw closer to one another and closer to You. All this we pray in the powerful name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's a word in those verses, you see that by the title of the sermon listed in there, that I just wanted to focus upon. It's that word, "until." We never think about that, or I never have thought about that a whole lot in that passage. But that word there is used twice. In some of the other Gospels, it's used just once when Jesus says, "I will not drink of this until I see, you'll not see me do this again until I drink anew in the kingdom that is to come." So, Jesus is saying something when He says "until." What does "until" mean? What does that mean? "Until" means, gives the indication of something that hasn't yet happened. "Until." It also gives the indication of something that we maybe need to be doing as well. There are actually three things that this "until" can mean to us today. This one word, "until," direction that it gives us, a charge that it gives us, basically. Three things that I want to look at this morning. First of all, "until" declares to us a hope. In other words, when Jesus says "until" there, He's giving us a promise which we can look forward to. And what is that promise? Of His return. Jesus is telling us right there, "until, do this until. I will not do this until." Says, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So there is something to come. There is a hope for us there. If Jesus had just lived a good life, if Jesus had just lived a good life and taught good, sound, moral teachings, and then died and been no more, then He would have been nothing more than thousands of other men and women that lived over the years and taught good things and lived good lives. He would have been nothing different. There would have been nothing extraordinary. We would have nothing to hope for if Jesus lived and did those things and died and that was it. Jesus says "until," and that gives us hope that He will return. You know, in our church here in the last month, we've had three funerals in our church family here, just in the folks here. We've had Elvita's son who passed away, and then Miss Helen Holcomb, and then Gwen Jones this week. In each of those cases, I talked about hope. There was an element of hope that I always talk about in funerals, because that's something important that we need to know as Christians, that this life is not it. There is something that we can hope for. There is something more than just this existence. And the hope that we have is not in ourselves that we can be more than just this life, but our hope is in what Jesus has done and that He has won the victory for us. "Until." It gives us hope. The first thing that we need to remember, the first thing that it reminds us of and makes us aware of, is that there is hope. The second thing that this word until means for us is until demands determination. There is a work that we are to be doing. Jesus says until. So in that process of time there, until, does that mean we just sit back and say, come Lord Jesus, come, and twiddle our thumbs and just wait for Him, do nothing, just idly sit by? Well, we know the Scriptures teach anything but that. That there is a command to go out, to carry the good news, to share the gospel, to love one another, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world today. Jesus is not here in bodily form anymore. We know that we have the Holy Spirit that guides and directs and gives us power and authority. We talked about authority in Sunday school this morning. It doesn't just give us power, but it gives us authority. Not because of what we know and the good and the things that we have attained in life, but because of what Jesus has done, we have His authority when we share and when we love and when we live in accordance with His Word. There is a demand. There is a demand of continuing on, of work. Until He returns, we have work to do. What kind of work do we have to do? Well, Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Remember those two things that He said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's what we're called to do. We're called to love until He returns, to love Him with our heart, with what is our spirit, to love Him in spirit, to love Him with our soul. That's our what makes us human. You know, in the Greek sense of soul, we think about soul today as that spiritual part. But in the Greek word soul, what they were talking about was that characteristic, what made them and give them life. So with our bodies, in our service, we are to serve Him and to love Him with everything in our mind, with what makes us our individual selves, our intellect, our personalities. We are to love God with everything about us, with everything that makes us who we are. We're also to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the hard part, isn't it? To love those people who aren't always that lovable. To see those situations where we are called to be neighbor, where we are called to reach out and to share in love. We are to love unconditionally. For us today, until means determination. To hang on, to carry on, to do as Christ has taught us through His example. The third thing until means for us today, and the third thing it says to us, is that it also calls us to a sense of joy, to a life of joy. There is a joy that we are to be experiencing in this life that we currently live. When you do come up this morning, I don't want you to come up with long faces like you're at a funeral this morning, because we're not having a funeral service at the communion table. What we're having is a service of joy, a service of celebration because of what Jesus has done. I remember back when my dad was still living, and I remember the time that he died. And I remember the sorrow that was present at that, as many of you remember when loved ones passed away. But when I think about my daddy today, it is not about what he endured and how he was sick the last couple years of his life, or it's not the sorrow that I experienced at that time that is first and foremost in my mind. I mean, those things you can't, you know, take yourself completely away from anything like that. That's a small part. But what I truly remember about my daddy is the good things, or the fun times that we had, the laughter that we shared. I remember those silly little things he used to say to get on my nerves when I was a teenager that I say now to my kids to get on their nerves. You know, I remember those things. And it brings a smile to my face today. There's a joy to be had. If you think back to the person to someone that really meant something to you that has passed away, you don't think about the bad things. If there was any good there at all, you think about the joy that you had and the love that was shared, the good experiences. Those are the things that we remember. We think about the good times, not the bad. So this morning when we come up for this service this morning, when we come up to take communion, we're not coming up and remembering the bad things. We're not coming up here, and it's not like, woe is me, here I am at communion again. Jesus died, Jesus suffered, poor Jesus, poor me. We come up here and say, hallelujah, Jesus died for me. For me. He died for me, and you know what's even better? He rose for me. Not for somebody 1,000 years from now or 1,000 years ago. Not, he didn't even die for you, Dan. He died for me. Now, he did die for you, but that's my approach. He died for us all. It's a joy. Yeah. My joy is in that he died for me. For me as an individual, my personal Savior. He died for my sins. And not it's not just that he died for the world, but he died for me. Come up here with joy this morning and remember and celebrate what Jesus has done for you. For us today, until is a call to joy. I'm thankful that Jesus died for me. I'm thankful that he died for you. Let's remember until. Until gives us a hope that this is not all there is. That there is something expectant, something that we can be sure of. Until demands determination and forward progress, that we don't just sit here on our knees, we don't just lay back and wait, but that we are out there doing and being the hands and feet of Jesus. And finally, remember that there is joy. If a Christian can't have joy, we are not Christians. You can't be a Christian and have a long face all the time and never smile. I just don't think the two can go together. Until tells us that there is something to be joyful about. I call you this morning as we turn and look at the liturgy from the communion service to read these words, to say and be involved in the responses with joy. And when you come up here this morning and you take of the cup and you take of the bread, do it with a smile on your face because of what Christ has done for you individually. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your great love. And I thank you, Lord, that we have the hope and that we have the determination given to us and that we can live our lives in joy. May we be obedient to your call. May we love unconditionally, and may we be your hands and feet in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your hymn books to follow along, it's page 12 in the hymn books. Join with me now as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's table. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, We praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, gave thanks to You, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And when the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now let us join together and pray as Christ taught His disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen.